الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam that are listening to the program over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you one hadith that is recorded in Kitabul Buyu, the chapter of Islamic Finance, Business and Economics in Bukhari Sharif. The hadith is narrated by an illustrious Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was 8 years old when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He was a youngster, he was a minor. There were many Sahaba who were youngsters, who were minors. They heard ahadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They heard hadiths from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, experiences with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and narrated those ahadith, or narrated the experiences they had with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after they were adults, and presented it to the ummah. The hadith is narrated by Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In another instance, Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala narrates one of his personal incidents with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He once came in a gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody had presented a branch of dates to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Nu'man ibn Bashir, "Oh Nu'man, take this branch of dates and go and give it as a gift to your mother." Nu'man ibn Bashir says, while he was going home, on the way, he was feeling hungry and he started plucking one by one date and started eating from that branch. By the time he reached home, he had eaten all the dates that were on the branch. Which is very typical of our children. You send a child to the bakery to go and buy some cakes or some bread. If he's feeling hungry, by the time he reaches home, if the entire cake is not eaten up, at least part of the cake is eaten up. So Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not give anything to his mother. The following day, when he came in the gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Oh Nu'man, what happened with a branch of dates? When you give something as a gift to someone, it is expected of that person to acknowledge." Probably, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expected Nu'man ibn Bashir's mother to acknowledge the gift. Or, for Nu'man ibn Bashir to come and tell to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he handed a gift over to his mother. He was a youngster, completely unmindful of these etiquettes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him the following day, "Oh Nu'man, what happened with the branch of dates? He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, on the way as I was going, I was very hungry. I ate the dates up." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a smile on his face, this told to Nu'man ibn Bashir, as an adult would tell to a child, in a loving way, "You are a cheater." In this way, to reprimand the child and also to nurture the child. The hadith that I've narrated is narrated by this great illustrious sahabi, Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In order to understand the greatness of this hadith, the great value of this hadith, Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayh is a great muhaddith. He says, from a compilation of 500,000 hadiths, 500,000 ahadiths, he have chosen approximately 5,000 ahadiths to compile his book, which is known as Sunan Abu Dawood. This is one of the 6 books, authentic books of hadiths, or famous books of hadith. He says, from those 5,000 ahadiths, he has encapsulated, summarized all the ahadiths of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in just 4 ahadiths. One can understand the magnitude, the greatness of 4 ahadiths, which have a lesson of 500,000 ahadiths. The 4 hadiths that he refers to, the first is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat," which is the first hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will judge your actions by your intentions. Did you do it solely for the pleasure of Allah, or did you do it for name and fame? Second hadith, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." The meaning of which is, your iman is not perfect until you love for your brother what you love for your own self. How would you like other people to deal with you? You deal with those people in that way. If you want somebody to make you happy, when you are dealing with that person, you should also make him happy. Then only your iman will be perfect. The third hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." The beauty of a person's Islam is he stays away from things that does not concern him. It is not your matter. It is not your business. So don't put your fingers in something that doesn't concern you. You should focus in things that concern you. What are your religious obligations? What you are supposed to do? You do those things. Stay away from things that does not concern you. That is also the beauty of your Islam. And the fourth hadith is this hadith which I have narrated to you, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, "Al halalu bayyin wal haramu bayyin." Halal, those things that are permissible in Sharia, they are abundantly clear. Either clearly mentioned in the Quran, or either clearly mentioned in the Ahadith. Wal haram ubayyin. There are many things that are clearly haram, either expressly mentioned in the Quran, or either expressly or explicitly mentioned in the Ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa baynahuma umurun mushtabaha. Between those issues that are abundantly clear, between those issues that are abundantly haram, those issues that are abundantly clearly halal, between them two, they are doubtful things. The hadith goes on further to state, that person who exercises precaution in all his issues, in all his dealings, he knows that something is doubtful, he stayed away from that. That person who adopts that attitude, that stayed away from things that are doubtful, most definitely, he will save himself from that which is clearly haram. And that person who indulges in something that is doubtful, it's on the borderline. Is a possibility in halal, there's a great possibility in haram. You deal in that borderline, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَنْ يَرْتَعَ حَوْلَ الْحِمَىٰ يُوشِكُ أَيْ يُوَاقِعَ. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person who grazes on the borderline of halal and haram, there's a great possibility that that person will end up committing haram. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gives an example of a pasture. In the past, the kings, they used to have pastures where the animals used to graze. If a person grazes the animal in his land, in his pasture, far away from the border of the next person's pasture, that animal will not trespass its limits and go and graze the next person's boundary. But if the person happened to graze his animals on the boundary of the next person, an animal has an attitude to deviate, to the great possibility that the person's animal will deviate past his pasture and go into the pasture of the next person. Likewise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this example, have stated that there are two pastures. One is the pasture that is halal. Certain things that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has permitted. And there's another pasture where Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prohibited things. When we are dealing with issues of Shariat, practicing on issues of Shariat, remain on the halal pasture. Ensure that what you are doing is completely halal. Don't go on the borderline. If you go on the borderline, just as there's a possibility of an animal deviating from halal to haram, likewise you may also deviate from halal to haram, and you will end up invoking and incurring the wrath of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Most strict elders and friends, in this hadith, we learn three lessons. The first lesson is, those things that are halal, regard them to be halal. What is halal, you cannot regard it to be haram. To regard a halal act to be haram is also a crime. In one hadith narrated in Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ القرآن فاستظهره فأحل حلالا وحرم حراما دخل الجنة. That person who read the Quran, who memorized the Quran, and after having read and memorized the Quran, what is halal of the Quran, he declared it halal. What is haram of the Quran, he declared it haram. He doesn't mix up the issue. What is halal, he makes haram, and what is haram, he makes halal. Everything is put in proper perspective, and he respects the divine law of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Such a person who upholds halal and halal, upholds haram and haram, that person will go into Jannah. To regard a halal act to be haram is a sin. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who says, three sahaba, they came to Nabi Kareem to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, to inquire from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala about the personal actions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the confines of his home. After they've heard from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does in the confines of his home, they thought to themselves, that is sufficient for the Rasul of Allah. Allah has blessed the Rasul of Allah with a high lofty position. There's no need for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to exert himself more than what he's doing. But where are we in relation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We need to exert ourselves more than what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exerted himself. So one person, he decided that he is never going to eat. Now eating is permissible. But he decided that I will make eating haram upon myself, and I will fast all day long. I will never ever break my fast, I will fast all day long. Second person, he decided that I will not sleep at night. Now sleeping at night is permissible. In fact, it is compulsory at times. So if a person he declares sleeping haram upon himself. What is halal, he had made it haram upon himself. And the third person said, then I'm going to exert myself. I'm going to live a life of a bachelor. I'm never going to get married. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi heard about this. Three things that are halal. Eating is halal, sleeping is halal, getting married is halal. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi frowned upon that, and Nabi Sallallahu condemned it, and he said, Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. That person who turns away from my sunnah, eating is my sunnah, fasting is my sunnah, getting married is my sunnah, that person who turns away from that, he's not from among me. We understand from this hadith, what is halal, you cannot regard it to be haram. Also in the same vein, what is haram, expressly haram, you cannot regard it to be halal. In fact, this is such a serious issue. Our ulama have mentioned, if a certain prohibition in Sharia is qat'iyyu thubut and qat'iyyu dalala, academic terms which means expressly proven and explicitly understood from the Quran and the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something that is expressly prohibited, if a person have to regard that to be halal, there's a risk of the person losing his iman. And that is why our attitude, if it's anything is in haram, if you are committing the haram, accept it that I'm doing the wrong. Don't justify your wrong. If you justify your wrong, you'll never get the tawfiq of making tawbah. But the moment you do a wrong and you justify the wrong, then you'll never get the tawfiq of making tawbah. And depending on which haram you declare to be halal, there's a risk of you losing your iman. The second lesson we learned in this hadith, sometimes there may be academic differences among ulama, among muftis. Some ulama may say it's permissible. Some ulama may say it is not permissible. Now the general understanding of people today is, it's okay, there's different opinion among the ulama. So we didn't practice, take that opinion, we take another opinion. In most cases, what is lenient for the people, people will take it. Whereas this is not an absolute and general rule. If there are two people of the same standard, or somebody got more experience, and that person is saying, this is prohibited, and he has given academic proof or justification for that, from a principal point of view, then that item will be regarded to be prohibited. The third principle we understand in this hadith, Sharia has emphasized on us exercising precaution in our dealings and in our muamalats. Stay away from doubtful issues. In one hadith, recorded in Bukhari Sharif, Hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءِ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Or كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a time is going to come. People will be completely careless, unmindful of the source of income. Their purpose, their focus will be just to earn the income, just to enrich themselves, to increase their bank balance. And the person's attitude at that time will be, he won't even care whether his income is from halal or whether his income is from haram. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Man ishtara thawban بِعَشَرَةِ دَرَائِمْ وَفِيهِ دِرْحَمٌ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْ حَرَامٍ. If a person happened to buy a garment, it could be a kurta, it could be a jersey, it could be anything. If it cost 10 dirhams, and from the 10 dirhams, 1 dirham of that garment is from haram. That means 90% halal, 10% haram. Nabi Kareem Sasa mentioned, until that person has the garment on him and he performs salat with that garment, his salat is not accepted. Very severe warning in this hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he presented this hadith to people were shocked. So what are we to do? Don't perform salat. Abdullah ibn Umar put his fingers inside his ears and he said, may I become deaf. May I become deaf if I did not hear this hadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be the musafir, a traveler. Generally in the hadith it mentioned, when a person is a traveler, his dua accepted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paints a picture of a very pitiful musafir. His hair is disheveled. That means, for days on end, he was unable to attend to his hair. There's dust on his clothing. That means for days on end, he was unable to take a bath and to attend to his clothing. In such a pitiful situation, he spreads his hands out and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. He is beseeching Almighty Allah in a state of desperation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, look at that person's condition. Disheveled hair. Dust on his clothing. Who won't feel pity on him? And here, he is turning to Almighty Allah, who has the greatest amount of rahmat and mercy. The person is spreading his hand and he's saying, Ya Rab, fulfill my need, fulfill my need. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Anna yustajab. Where will this person's dua ever be accepted? Mat'amuhu haram. His food that he's eating, that is haram. Maybe, it may be halal certified somewhere, but the source from where he got it, his means of income, is that Sharia compliant or not? That is haram. Wa malbasu haram. The clothes that he's wearing on his body, that is haram. Wa mashrabuhu haram. And the drink that he's drinking is also haram. Where will his dua be accepted? One sahabi, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, how do I make my du'as accepted? What should I do? That whenever I lift up my hands, my du'a be accepted. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, O Sa'ad, make sure that morsel, your means of income, whatever goes into your stomach is completely halal. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that sahabi wa the mustajab al-da'wat. Most respected elder and friend, when we hear of certain things that take place in our economy, certain malpractices in business and economic that take place, it is very, very discouraging and it is a matter of concern. Some people have that attitude, let's just swindle someone for millions of rands. Thousands of rands will go. He will just swindle someone, take the person away, take his money away, do a fraudulent deal without even batting an eyelid. He will sleep comfortably only to wake up in the morning and to say that so much of money, let me give it to a masjid. So much of money to give it as sadaqah and charity to an institute. With this hope in mind that this sadaqah and charity will make the remaining money which he stole or he did a fraudulent activity make it halal. Whereas in hadith in Tirmidhi, the hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, la sadaqa min khalul. If a person stole somebody's item, he has done a fraudulent act, and from there he gives something as sadaqa and charity, his sadaqa and charity not accepted. Again, if the person regarded to be halal to do it in that way, there's a risk of him losing his iman, forget his charity being accepted. And therefore it is very, very important for us to be very careful on how we do our muamalat, how we do our income. Today, when we look at our community and society, lots of decay that have come in our community and society is because of our type of income and not being cautious on our type of income. Domestic-related problems, health-related problems, business-related problems, political-related problems, to a large extent, it is attributed to our source of income. Hazrat Maulana Shabli Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned that if a person's income is haram, or if it is doubtful, close to being haram, then the noor that's in the heart of the person comes out. Second, the person who feels lazy all the time, no zeal, no enthusiasm in him to perform his salah. The third, the person would always want to do haram things, inclined toward haram. When you tell him to come to a masjid, he's not inclined to that. But na'udhu billah, tell him to go to a casino, then immediately he's jolted to do that. The fourth, And such a person is deprived of doing good actions and good deeds. We look in the lives of our Akabirin, our pious elders, how cautious they were when it came to the means of income. I'll narrate one incident and I will terminate with that. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great illustrious Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a slave. In those days, there was a concept of haraj, where a master would have a slave, and he would tell his slave to earn income and pay the master a due every single day. A particular amount was agreed between the master and the slave. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had such a slave who would give a certain amount to Abu Bakr Siddiq every day. One day, the slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala gave a particular amount to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala bought some food and he ate it. So the slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu told Abu Bakr Siddiq that, oh my master, oh Abu Bakr, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, whenever I gave you any money, you inquired what was the source of income. Today you didn't ask me, and you already bought food and you eat. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala hadn't eaten for a few days, extremely hungry. He bought the food and he ate it. Just one morsel of it. So Abu Bakr Siddiq asked the slave, where did you get this money from? He said, in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the pre-Islamic era, I used to practice kahanat, fortune telling. So, somebody owed me money, they didn't pay me, so that the money had given it to me, and I owed you, so I thought I should give you the same money. And with that, you had bought food. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was shocked and surprised, and he told to his slave, that, oh my slave, you have destroyed me. Oh my slave, you have destroyed me. How can you give me haram? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, bear in mind, he hasn't eaten for a few days, extremely hungry, eaten only one morsel. He takes his two fingers and he puts it inside his mouth, trying to take out that one morsel. When that morsel would refuse to come out, somebody told Abu Bakr Siddiq, why don't you drink water, excessive water, and that will make it possible for that one morsel to come out. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala drinks excessive water, he takes his two fingers and he takes out that one morsel that had gone into his stomach. Somebody told him, you haven't eaten for a few days, and that was just one morsel? Why do you put yourself into so much of difficulty? So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala told him that while removing that one morsel, if my life would have come out, if whilst removing that morsel, if my life would have come out, it was worth the while. Because I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that that one morsel which goes into the body and the body nurtured with that, the fire of hell is more deserving of that. Most respected elder and friends, we should exercise precaution and analyze our situation. Very often, we go to spiritual problems. Many other decays taking place in the community and society, to a large extent, it is of our source of income. In this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam cautions us to be careful on our source of income. Alhamdulillah, it is the fadl and grace of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. On Monday night in this masjid, here, Mallinson Road Masjid, we have this program on Kitab al-Buyu of Bukhari Sharif, chapter of Islamic finance and economics of Bukhari Sharif. 500 ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. And various masail, various laws on how to do our dealings, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, relating it to contemporary issues. We have this program here. Come to this kind of program and try to enrich yourself. Understand what are the laws of Sharia. Hadr Umar radiallahu ta'ala would not allow any person that was not educated on the law of business economics to do business. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, the person who does not know the law of business and economics, there's a great possibility that the person will end up doing haram. So therefore, come to these kind of programs, you'll enrich yourself, and inshallah, education, it has a potential of bringing about a revolution in your life, and changing your mindset, and starting something new in your life. We make dua, Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to make our income halal, to do the correct and the right thing, and that will bring a lot of ruhaniyat, spirituality in our personal home. To some extent, there is taqwa in a masjid. There's taqwa in our madrasas. There's taqwa in the darlooms. But imagine when the taqwa come in the business places, imagine how much of a rahmat and mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will descend on the ummah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.